Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce. Rob and Chris are with me. Hope you enjoyed Thanksgiving holiday. We're here to talk Survivor Series War Games. Let's start from the beginning and let's move on down, because it was a very fun show. Mm-hmm. We had two War Games matches, starting, of course, with the ladies. And this is how I know that this whole show is going to play out exactly how I predicted. Team Bel Air not having the advantage against Team Damage Control. And in the end, it's Team Bel Air getting the victory. Near 40-minute match. This was the longest match of the night, and very glad they let the women rock, because they put in another banger.
Yeah,
it's exactly
agree.
What we said, by the way, before I let you go. Exactly
Chris it was, said. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This was the most star-powered women's match that they've ever put on.
Yeah, yeah. You know what the thing is, like, and this goes for both the War Games matches, like, they didn't do it as much in the men's one. Like, I can do without the weapons. I talk about it every year, you know, but that's how you convey violence in 2022 WWE.
Exactly.
I think
it always comes
at
a predictable time, though. So
Like, you know, Nikki taking 90 seconds or whatever to find weapons before getting in the ring probably wasn't necessary. It just.
Her teammates.
Well, this also. But okay, finish, because I have a counterpoint to that. And this kind of ties into something else that I had a gripe with.
It's kind of just an overall, you know, point of the match. Like, again, I liked it. It was fine. It was entertaining. It might have been a little too long, but, you know, that's what happens.
It's a five-match card.
I do think, so, you know, War Games, it's not that it doesn't start when until the last person's in the ring. It can't end until the last person's in the ring. And WWE doesn't seem to really understand the difference. But again, like, it was a fun match. It was entertaining. You know, I liked all 10 people. You know, Dakota Kai was taking some really big bumps,
as she is to do.
I think
that's her role. She's the bump queen.
You know, if they bring it back next year, which I think
they're going to.
Yeah, I think they're gonna. I think it could be like a little bit kind of more cohesive, because there are parts where a lot of it was like the person comes in the ring, does their basically like hot tag segment, and then you just move on to the next stuff. Like, I would like it felt like if you're not like doing a spot or waiting for a spot, you're just kind of off on your own. And I'd like, you know, just fighting, you know, kind of grating their faces into the cage, just kind of something.
They're not going to do that anymore, though.
No, I know. That's the thing. I wish it was a little more cohesive, but for what it was, I enjoyed it.
Didn't sound like you enjoyed it. You just picked it all apart.
No, I liked it, though.
No, you just picked it all apart, though. No, you literally just spent the last 2 minutes picking it apart.
I thought it was
That's
good.
Exactly what you did.
I thought it was good. Here's the thing. Like, if you watch the older War Games matches, yeah, it's different. And
I know.
Just accept that it's different.
Yes.
It's not always easy, but it is. It was interesting.
I do agree with that point. Like, it's not 1992 anymore.
Yes.
It's a different style of wrestling. It's a different style of play. It's not going, especially when you know, have to deal with the women. They're not going to be able to do some of the shit or, you know, grimy shit that, you know, Sting Squadron would do or whatever.
Yeah.
So kind of you have to adapt to the times. It's not always going to be perfect, but like, you just find a way to adapt, and hopefully, you know, we're what, 5 years into War Games being back?
Like,
hopefully, you know, we get to a point where like these matches do become cohesive for modern times. It's been away for like 20 some years. So like,
I think it's important to remember, of course, this is the first War Games match in front of a big crowd in 3 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's sort of things that they had to build up to. And for the record, I think both
with major players and not indie guys.
Exactly. And I think for both matches, I think the crowds brought the kind of energy that I expected and hoped them to do.
They were both good for both matches.
I think if you want to eliminate the nonsense, the in-betweens, the stuff that Rob was talking about, for the record, Rob, I was giving you a hard time.
No, honestly. I know.
But I think if you want to cut down on the nonsense and the in-betweens of Nikki and Bailey also taking time out to get weapons, there's an easy fix. Get rid of the shark cages. Just get rid of the shark cages and have the two teams just be at ringside, and they can gain weaponry that way. I mean, you don't have to have that much clock eaten up by these people just going down and doing that.
They're so adamant on, you know, having the wrestlers be out there front and center and present, and they don't need to be. Granted, we'll talk about the main event. It was kind of cool just to see Roman just sitting on a chair.
Yes.
It's like, yo, everybody else is just standing. I ain't got time for this shit. Let me just ponder in my chair and stand at the appropriate moments. The shark cages really don't bring anything. So I do agree on that. That's one thing that they got to tinker on.
Yeah.
Figuring out what to do with the other superstars when they're not in the ring.
And I think my only other critique, and this is just something that I know it's probably not going to happen. However, I think that they should harken back to it. The pinfall stuff, it does make it feel like it's any other match. I think submit and surrender as the two choices as they were back in the 90s and whatnot were a good choice. And I think that, you know, yes, I don't think anyone wants to tap out or surrender or whatever the hell, but sometimes these things are necessary. Sometimes you have to eat defeat. It sucks. No one wants to do it, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that if you do that, it distinguishes the match from everything else.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's something that not a lot of people would say. It would just be, oh, well, it's just harkening back to the old days. That's really cool. What made it special and unique back then was the fact that no other match could be ended by submitting or literally surrendering.
Yeah.
So you have to, if your goal is to beat them so badly that they have to surrender, it hits a little different than just your basic 1-2-3. They made the pinfall obviously very dramatic.
Yeah,
Becky jumping absolutely. From the top of the cage, a leg drop on Dakota and Io through a table. Like,
I wish it had a roof, but you know.
I go back and forth on if I want a roof or not. I think honestly, they've done it without a roof for so long that I think that they could say, okay, we're going to test this with a roof, especially since Hell in a Cell, the pay-per-view is gone. So you don't have that much interference with that as you would normally if you had the Cell be a foregone conclusion every year.
Yeah.
As for the match itself, I enjoyed it. I think it gave me everything that I think I wanted from the match. I wanted to see good storytelling. I think that they did a good job of that. I think that they played back to the moment where Damage Control confronted Bianca and Becky at SummerSlam, but this time Bianca and Becky were on the left side and Damage Control was on the other side and they didn't have the control of the situation anymore. Becky and Bianca did. I think the match set up Becky versus Damage Control for the next few however long since Becky pinned Dakota, obviously, and had her interaction with Bayley, who was conveniently left out of the finish. Don't mind that, obviously. Keeps her protected. Nikki and Alexa seem to have unfinished business. I liked the handcuff spot. I thought that was cool. Mia and Rhea still have things to sort out because, as we'll talk about later, I don't think Judgment Day and the OC are done.
Yeah. Nope.
And, you know, Asuka did well. I like the miss spot, obviously. Shout out to all 10 women, really, for bringing it. I thought they did a bang-up job. And, yeah, I mean, afterwards, I really don't have any complaints. And at the end of the day, look, it's hard to beat one top babyface. It's harder to beat another. And as far as wrestling goes and conclusions to things, hell, I'm not going to be mad that the faces beat the heels. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's you know, if you're a fan of someone who's a villain, this is something that you just have to accept.
Yeah, a lot of people were struggling with that. But, you know, yeah, it's just how it goes.
People need to calm down.
Yeah.
AJ Styles getting a pinfall win over Finn Balor. They gave this time as well. 18-25.
Yes, they did.
To go out there. And it's not hitting like it, you know, once before. Okay, cool. I guess for me, I'm just like, it was a lame pinfall victory. We're just doing this to continue the feud. You know, it's there for me. I don't hate it. I love it. It exists.
Yeah, I came away wanting a little bit more from this.
Yeah.
I liked Finn's entrance. I liked that AJ also had Finn's
entrance so damn much.
Yes. I like the mask. I like the mask that Styles had on as well.
I like that they don't do it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that this match came off more like an attraction. I think it would have hit better. But it felt just like sort of something that, like you said, just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And I think
a midpoint in a longer feud, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that with Styles, his matches have always been hard to read over the last, like, couple months because it's like he's obviously very talented. I don't know if the marathon is for him anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And that's obviously a sad realization to come to, but I don't know if the marathon is good for him
anymore. It's fine. Like, it was a good match. You know, I don't really, like, remember any spots from it or whatever.
No, and that's really the problem, because you remember the thing you remember from Finn and AJ the last time was the fact that the two sweeted each other.
Yeah.
There was no such consequential.
Yeah, like it was kind of just there. It felt like it could have just been on Raw. Like it was fine.
Yeah.
I think we kind of said like probably the highest floor of any match on the card, and it delivered that. It was perfectly fine. I think Dave Meltzer tweeted like perfectly fine match between two good workers or something. And that's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
Another day at the office.
Yep.
Ronda Rousey getting W over Shotzi, made a tap. Listen, this is not about you, baby girl. I want to absolve you of any wrongdoing that you may have had in the 7 minutes and 15 seconds in this match, Miss Shotzi Blackheart, because this is not about you. Ronda Rousey is shit. She is not sometimes good, maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. No, she is just complete shit. She's going to exist for a very long time because she's Ronda Rousey, but
Yeah,
it's been like what, 3 years, 3 years plus, almost four. That was her fourth year. Survivor Series would have kind of been her fourth year, or fifth, kind of. I don't. Time is a flat circle. She debuted at Royal Rumble in 2018. There we go. So we're coming on 5 years now.
Yeah,
I mean, she hasn't improved one.
Yeah, she was off obviously for two.
Right, it kind of fucked up my timeline.
I think this match for me, I didn't really feel a way about it, but that's because I really didn't have any expectations for it, just because I knew it was – they're giving someone who doesn't usually get a shot
right.
At a show where they would know – I mean, considering who was on the card, the pecking order, it was fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just was, and you can get away with that. I think that the thing with Ronda is – she goes as her opponent goes, and she's admitted this as well. So, unfortunately, when she matches up with people who maybe aren't on the scale of 1 to 10, you know, like the 9s and the 10s, then it suffers a bit. When she works with people who are highly skilled and highly elevated, then she performs better. Those are just the you know, encounters you run into.
Yeah,
I think my thing for SmackDown going forward, I would wonder how they're going to bridge some gaps here, just because you obviously can't turn to Liv or whatever to, you know, deploy a, you know, safety button here. But
yeah,
I think that they're just in a spot where her and Shayna are going to continue to bully. They'll pivot to whatever. I don't know if it's going to be Ronda Shayna or Ronda Raquel as of right now at the Rumble. I think both are possibilities. But, yeah, I mean, it was unfortunately, for as good as a day at the office it was for AJ and Finn, it was a bad day at the office for the others.
Yeah. No,
but things happen.
It wasn't great. You know, I haven't really enjoyed Ronda's run a whole lot compared to the first one. But I think a lot of
it's improved. Over the past couple of weeks,
sticking here with Shayna has definitely improved.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
That's from the character standpoint. Let's see what happens if and when she works with somebody.
The SmackDown Women's Division just kind of needs more pieces. And
to be fair, I think that you can at least argue that they're at least doing a good job of trying to showcase the faces.
Yeah, that's true.
Of the division.
That's true.
And I think that they did that way more with her than they did with Charlotte as champion.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't really interact with anybody else except for Ronda on the way to WrestleMania.
No, that's a good point.
So.
Yeah. Triple threat match for US title. Austin Theory.
Damn.
Getting the pin. Yeah, that was a long
one. Damn.
Austin Theory getting the pin out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The Beyblade champion. I thought this was a fun match, because both Rollins and Theory work a pace that Lashley hasn't been able to really go at since Impact. Mm-hmm. So to see all of that in a triple threat, I loved it. I thought it was a really fun 15-minute match.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily bad. Like, it was entertaining. I don't care about Theory or Seth, so that doesn't help, you know? But, like, it was good. Like, I'm surprised Theory won. It's honestly, this year has been very interesting for Seth because, you know, that he's arguably the top, you know, male guy on Raw, or him or Lashley, and they just beat him at every turn. I know he's a heel, but at some point you should probably reward him for kind of carrying the brand and, you know, things of that nature, you know. But it's kind of why we thought he was going to maybe win Money in the Bank or something, and he didn't do that. And he had a two-week U.S. title reign, so kind of interested in seeing where they go next for him. I mean, he's going to be fine, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if you stop and think about it, it's kind of dumb that they cashed in and then lost and just got another title opportunity anyway, but they obviously just wanted to get the briefcase off him. I get it. You know, it is what it is.
And I mean, all three hated each other.
I actually thought the finish was pretty cool. I don't know that they're going to go to, like, Theory against Ali. I don't know how Ali factors into any of this going forward, if he does at all. It wouldn't surprise me if he does not, just because, you know, he's not really elevated right now. But, yeah, overall, it was an entertaining match.
Over-delivered to me. That's why I honestly don't mind the finish or result, because I'm willing to see what they have in store here.
Mm-hmm.
For Seth, I mean, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand, and he's as big of a loser as you're telling me he is. So yeah, you tell me what actually matters here. And this is a point that I'm making also about Bayley. Sometimes this shit doesn't matter to people.
Yeah.
If they connect with these people, it ultimately will not matter.
Yeah, that's true.
And Seth had the crowd in the palm of his hand like almost nobody else on that entire show.
Mm-hmm. He does night in, night out. And that's like what's been able
every
to
day.
That's why he's been able to live without a main strap for so long.
Yep. Yeah.
Granted, at some point he's going to have to get his hands back on
it. Of course.
But, like, you know, what's the avenue right now? So if he loses an Intercontinental Universal Championship, so fucking what? You'll get it back. You know, you'll have number 6 and 7 and 8. And
you got to watch out, though, because is it a thing where they care about him, or do they just like to sing the theme song?
No, I think that's ridiculous. And that's, come on, pal. That's a Daniel Bryan ass. Mm-hmm. Talking point from when they were chanting yes. Yeah.
No, it's fair.
Come on, man. But they don't even do that anymore.
Just an aside before we get to the main event, the crowd for this show, and I don't usually like to blame the crowds. The crowd was bad.
I liked them.
They wouldn't come up for anything.
That's fine.
I told you that during the show. They'd come up for a spot and just sit and wait for the next.
So it sounds like they were trying to enjoy the show instead of trying to chant throughout it and make it about them. They're not an English crowd, so they're not going to sing song.
It's not just about chanting, though.
It is about chanting. You said that they went up for spots and then sat down and watched and went up for the next one. Sounds like a normal reaction to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they were going up for the appropriate spots.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say I had too much of an issue with it. And also, I think we need to get back to, before we really do got to finish, we need to get back to, you know, not expecting crowds to just tire themselves out.
Yeah,
agree.
I want to pop for, you know, where I want to pop, and then I just want to chill and watch the match and just enjoy it and relax. I'm not the type of person that's like, I'm on my feet, you know, the entire damn match. If it calls for it, cool. I think the Austin Owens match is one of the few matches where, like, nobody sat down at fucking arena, right? So, you know, we need to kind of go back to normalizing, like, yay, and then chill the fuck out and enjoy the fucking match.
Because
some of y'all motherfuckers are annoying during matches.
Mm-hmm.
Main event. See, I knew that Sami Zayn was going to do something to Kevin Owens and cause the loss, but the better wrinkle wasn't Roman. It was Jay getting the pin.
Yep.
Mm.
I loved it. I fucking love this match, and I love the ending, and I love the aftermath. This is really the culmination of everything that they've been doing since April.
Yes.
Yeah, they did a really good job with this. Really strong main event. You know, the storytelling was there, kind of paid off. The first part of the story, so we can move to the second part, and that'll be paid off sometime before WrestleMania, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they really hit all the boxes. Do I think it was great in terms of storytelling? Yes.
Yeah.
In-ring stuff, I kind of wish they did a little more, but, you know, fine. Like, I liked the spot where they all did the superplexes.
Yes, that was cool. That was awesome.
Good stuff.
I really enjoyed that.
And, you know, the men didn't really bring the weapons in to the extent that the women did. I just thought it was kind of laid out a little bit cleaner. And, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
They let the story play take its course.
Mm-hmm.
And they let that be the driving factor within the match, not, you know, the chaos or the weapons. And, like, granted, like, I want to, like, yo, it's War Games. I want to see some fucking blood. And I think Triple H would get to that point, right? Because you kind of have to at some point.
Yeah.
But, like, the story wasn't the Brawling Brutes. The story wasn't Drew McIntyre. You know, Kevin Owens factored into it, but the story was, you know, was there dissension in the bloodline? Is, you know, the Tom Hagen really Leo DiCaprio in The Departed? I'm forgetting his name in The Departed, so, you know, bear with me. And, you know, for that to play out and you get to, you know, finally get the, you know, the end where Jay goes and gives the biggest fucking hug possible to Sammy, but also at the same time, like, not only is Roman kind of, you know, a little bit skeptical, you know, what's going on with you and KO, that was a little bit emotional, my player. Not only we got that, Solo Sikoa is really solo.
Oh yeah,
like solo. He's letting y'all know, and I've loved that about that his entire, like, so far main event run, main roster run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in his just simple reactions, you know,
yes.
Folks might not be paying attention, but he's going to be the breakout star of the bloodline.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I said it to someone else. He looks more, and this is really no disrespect, obviously. He looks more like Taz 2.0 than Hook does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
For real.
1,000%.
Like, yeah, it's a good one.
1,000%. So I'm incredibly excited. Whatever his role within this storyline,
oh yeah,
ends up being, whether he ends up going and turn on bloodline and being on his own, or whether he just grows up as the baby brother, and eventually gets his run at the top down the line. Like, I, you know, they see stars in him. They must. And just his demeanor is fucking amazing. Also, you say he's more Taz than Hook is. Apparently, he was in a movie called Destroyer. And his name in that movie was Taz.
Oh, there you go.
Go figure.
Yeah. Starring Nicole Kidman, Tony Kebbell, Tatiana Maslany, our She-Hulk, Bradley Whitford, Sebastian Stan.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. Anything else from this movie?
No, I don't think so. You know, pretty good show. The two big matches I think delivered, even if I do have a couple complaints about them. But, you know, now, kind of like I said last week, you got 8 weeks of TV before the next pay-per-view. Kind of interested in seeing, you know, what they're going to do in December, because December, historically, it's, you know, been holidays. They kind of don't always go full bore. So hopefully they do that this time. They don't seem to have too much out for Raw yet. So I'm interested in seeing what goes
only
there.
That Becky is leading off the show and that the first hour is commercial free.
Yeah.
And which I would find hilarious if that had anything to do with the snafu that they had on Friday.
Yeah, that'd be funny. That would be very funny.
It would be funny if NBC Universal was like, oh, we never do that to you. You can have the first hour free.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, this has been Ruthless Aggression. Thanks for joining us. Rob and Chris will be back later on in the week to go through some 2006 and then also get you caught up on what happened on Monday night. I'm at Cameron Santa. Rob's at RobinNeil31. Chris is at ChrisMNovak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. Head to thebcnet.com, man. Go listen to everything if you are looking for more Survivor Series. A much longer conversation around Survivor Series. First Black Champ has got you covered up now. And they'll also kind of peek back to Revolution. We also talked about Revolution. That's on last week's episode. New 7th and Hallis. God, the Bears stink. But hey, number two pick. Keep it rolling.
It's fine.
Keep it rolling, baby. Keep it fucking rolling. Don't you dare fucking sit out Aaron Rodgers. I swear to fucking God, if Aaron Rodgers is the reason I don't get a second pick in the draft, I'm going to fucking lose it. This has been Ruthless Aggression for Rob and Chris. I am Pierce. We'll see you guys later.